Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going back to where I was this morning and pick up a few more thoughts springing from that we mentioned this morning. Thank God for singing. It does bless your heart. It does help you. It does encourage. It does strengthen. I appreciate that. But we need preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And I pray God to help us in preaching tonight. And do that He'd be pleased with and bring glory to Him. Simple thoughts, but things I feel like God's laid on my heart. And I know men have preached in this line many, many times. And I was looking at it and thinking about it this week, and I just couldn't get away from it. But we need to be involved in the work of the Lord. Brother Pertel got up here and talked about the tracks in his pocket. I keep some tracks in my pocket and try to keep them handy, because always opportunities to give somebody a track, invite them to church or talk about the Lord or do something. But we need to be involved in the work of the Lord. And I said this morning, we don't have to be a preacher. Call man of God to preach. You don't have to be that to be involved. You don't have to be a man even to be involved. You don't have to. Men, women, boys, and girls can all be involved in the Lord's work. And let me say this again tonight. It is the greatest work on the face of God's earth. It is the greatest work. And I mentioned this morning about Haiti, and that certainly we appreciate all the help that's been given. And surely those people are in dire need. My heart cries to God to help them. And I said this morning, I said again, I don't want to ever take away from their disaster. That's not what I'm saying yet. But their greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need of anybody around us is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the rubble. We can see the buildings have fallen. We can see the bodies laying in the streets. We can see all of that. But what we fail to see sometimes is there's a lost world dying and going to hell all around us that we need to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please, while I read. In chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel, we'll start at verse 4. We read verse 1 through 3 this morning as well as these others. But verse 4, the Lord begins calling Samuel, and the Lord calls Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. It shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." What a great thought that is, "thy servant heareth." We all ought to be servants of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the singing of the songs. What a joy to our hearts, and the singing, a blessing to us. And I thank you, Lord, for the choir and the special. Then I pray tonight now that you'd help us in preaching. I thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy truth. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit and power to preach, that we may forget about everything else and everybody else, center in on the Word of God, the things of God. And I pray tonight that you just magnify yourself. And Lord, again, I stand in a place where I realize that I stand here as a mouthpiece, and so I need a divine touch of God. I pray for Holy Ghost anointing, and I ask you, God, help me get self out of the way, and you just have your way, magnify yourself, speak to every heart. I think of those who have requested prayer, And I pray for those that are sick. And I've mentioned Sister Doris Billings, brother, I pray for him. I pray for Miss Mary Blanton, you'd help her. I pray, God, you'd help others that have been mentioned that's sick. And then, Lord, tonight, those who have problems and difficulties. And in this house, there are those here that's struggling through some situations. I pray, oh, Lord, you'd help them tonight. May the power of God come and stir our hearts together. Then, Lord, we're looking forward to Jubilee and praying that you'd help us all get involved and do what we ought to do and should do in even before Jubilee this week and weeks to follow, that we'd just get involved in the things of God, the work of God. Thank you that you said in thy word, we're labors together with God. I pray tonight in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Picking up on that cause for involvement in the Lord's work and thinking about that, I thought about that little maid that told Naaman's wife about a prophet over in Israel. Said, he can help you. Hey, somebody over there can give you some help. And you know the story about Naaman. She got involved in the Lord's work even though she's in a foreign land and away from her people, and she was in a place where that she needed, she didn't know what was going on hardly, but she could tell them where they should get some help. And I'm glad that no matter how young you are, how old you are, you still can tell people where they can get some help. Amen. Somebody said witnessing, telling one beggar where another beggar can get some bread. Amen. That's exactly right. I was lost and I got saved. I can tell them how I got saved and invite them to come and get the same fountain I got to and find Jesus Christ precious unto them. And so tonight, we're picking up on these thoughts. Now, I will not re-preach what I did this morning, but I will just simply say a word about it. I talked about these calls first from above, that God gives a call, and here Samuel's being called. It's God calling him. Didn't realize it at first. He simply did not realize who it was. He thought Eli was calling for him. And we talked about the fact of Eli's situation, but we're not going to that tonight. But finally, Eli did tell him, speak for thy servant here. I'm glad tonight that you can say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. We ought to be servants willing to hear. And God never saved anybody that wasn't willing to listen to him. Amen. And so God's looking for somebody willing to listen to him and say, speak for thy servant here. Then I said within me, there's something within me that caused me to be involved in the Lord's work. When I got saved, made me want to see other people get saved. When I see God working hearts and lives, it makes me want to see God help other people. When I go through things, Sister Lisa just mentioned about her family and situation we all are very aware of. I remember a year before that, Sister Jenny over here and what she went through. I remember others going through that. Sister Hancock recently, I remember people that go through those kind of things. We see God help them. I want to see God help others. I want to see God give others grace and God to help them, show them so they can see, they can get some help too. Oh, God just doesn't save us and leave us there. He lets us help others so they can be helped, not just in getting saved, but in life itself and bearing burdens. The Bible speaks that we should bear one another's burdens, care one for another. We cast our care upon Jesus, but we ought to pray one for another. Hey, sing a song around here sometime, a wall of prayer. Building a wall of prayer around you and praying. We all build a wall of prayer around this church, around each other, amen, and around the preaching of the word of God and around the singing, around everything. Just bathe it in prayer, amen. From within me, there's a call to get involved. I want to get involved. I kind of like the fella said when he got saved. When my preacher said we're going to have something at church, I wanted to be there. I didn't know if it was a ladies' meeting where I ought to go or not. But anyway, I wanted to be there. Amen. And whatever you have, I felt like I want to be there. If he said we're going to have a cleanup day, I went. Amen. And if he said we was going to go visit, I went. If he said we was going to go pray, went and pray. I just believe it being involved in the work of God is important.
Amen.
Amen. Being involved in the work of God. There's a call from above, a call from within. Then I talked about a call without.
There are people all around us, and I mentioned Haiti a while ago. These people all around us that are needing Jesus Christ. Right here in Spartanburg, right in Bowling Springs, South Carolina. These people that need to hear the old, old story. These people that need to know how to get saved. They've been exposed to a religion, and they know something about God, but they didn't know God. Here Samuel was, and he knew about God, but the Bible said in verse number 7, he didn't know God. And God come to him and saying, Samuel, Samuel, and called him 3 times. Then the 4th time, he called him twice. Samuel, Samuel. Got his attention, and Samuel said, here am I, for thy servant speaketh, thy servant heareth. And I'm glad he wanted God to speak to him. And Samuel became a great prophet of God and used of God. And I praise God for his use and what Samuel did for the glory of God. We talked about the harvest field being great. But let me say tonight, there's a call behind us also. I think of what's behind me makes me want to get involved. And in the first place, I think behind me is Calvary. I'm glad, thank God, for Calvary. Amen. When I think of Calvary and the cross of Christ, it makes me have a desire in my heart to be involved in this work of God. God loved me enough that he sent Jesus from heaven and come down to this sin-cursed world. And Jesus didn't have a home, didn't have a house, he didn't have a car, he didn't even own a donkey, he had to borrow that. He didn't own anything, clothes on his back. I don't know where he got that, somebody gave it to him. And he would live like that. And then he went to the, he did good and he helped people. And then finally was betrayed, sold out, went to the cross of Calvary. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. At Calvary, Jesus took my place and paid my price, and justice called and mercy answered. And God said, I'll take his place and I'll pay his price. I ought have went to hell and I ought be in hell burning tonight. But God so loved me that he gave his son. And Calvary was a reality. Bible said it came to a place called Calvary. And there they crucified him. I'm glad, thank God for Calvary. I look back at Calvary and there's a place where Jesus died, where he gave himself. He made a cry of all cries that's ever been made. He made it from Calvary. Hanging on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, so I'd never be forsaken. I can't take it all in. I can't understand all of that. I can't explain all that. All I can tell you is that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he took my place. He took all of my sin, and there on Calvary he bore them and paid the price in full and cried to God. And he was as much man as I'm man, as much God's God. But at that moment in time, God the Father forsook God the Son. And there he hung between heaven and earth. Man wouldn't have him, God wouldn't have him. And God turned his back on him. And there he hung for me and for you. And what he died for, I want to be a part of. Amen. What he died for, if he could do that for me, surely I want to serve him. I want to give my life to be a servant of his, that he might get glory. God wants you. God died for you just as much as he did for me. Jesus went to the cross just as much for you as he ever did for me. He loves you just as much as he ever loved me. And so Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That cry behind me makes me want to get involved. But not only that cry, but Jesus gave his commission. He said, go and teach all nations. I believe he meant what he said. I'm going to preach a little missions right now. Amen. Love missions. And God said to go everywhere and tell everybody. You say, preacher, I can't go everywhere. I can't tell everybody. No, but we can pray for everybody everywhere. And then we can give so people can go. And we may even be the one God calls to go. But we can be involved in the work of God. And being a missionary is not just going to a foreign field. It's not just going to another state. But right here at home, we can be a missionary right here and do the same thing they do wherever they go. What do? When they go to the mission field, they hand out tracts, they witness, they invite people to church, they try to win people to God, try to get people saved, and tell them about what the Bible said. Isn't that what they do? Now what they do? Then aren't we missionaries? And aren't we to be involved in the work of God? God said, go. And so you can't spell gospel without go. G-O's in there. Amen. And the gospel needs to be carried by everybody. Everybody can be a part of carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a cry behind us. Calvary. I can't get over Calvary. The greatest call of all I see is Calvary. Then that commission that he gave himself for us to go as a church. And that's our business. Our business is winning people to God, getting the gospel out. That is our business. Our business. I thank God for the building. I thank God for a parking lot. I thank God for all that. But that's not our main business. We have a building to meet in, a place where we can come. I'm thankful to the Lord for it. Praise his name. But listen, that's not what it's all about. It's all about getting the gospel out to a lost and a dying world. And so may God help us get involved in the work God would have us to be involved in. I praise his name and thank him and let us get involved in it. But then I think about something else behind me and I want to share with you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before. But he talked about that great cloud of witnesses. He just finished up chapter 11, that great chapter of the heroes of faith, and listed all those men and how they followed God, how Abraham followed God, how Noah followed God, how they all by faith, Moses and all. He mentioned all those men, how they did what they did by faith, believing what God said. And I see behind me all those men that went before us. Out of the Bible, we find them, Paul and Apostle Peter and all that, James and John, all of them. We see them behind us, what they did. What if the early church had just sat down and that 120 in that upper room, why if they said, well, we're not going to wait on the power to come, and we're not going to wait on God to show his power and do what he wants to do. We're going to go out here and do it our way. And then it fell through, because it would if God wasn't in it. And what if they hadn't, when God did show up and God's power did come, why if they said, well, we're going to enjoy it and shout it out, praise God, the Holy Spirit came. Thank God he's with us. Thank God he's in us. And they just sat there. And what if that's all they did? No, they got busy. And 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Then they kept going. You'll find later 5,000 got added in. I say hallelujah. And then they got kind of, I don't say they got relaxed, but they got kind of standing in their own realm. And God sent persecution to them. And then they went everywhere preaching the gospel. I say hallelujah. It may come to us in America. And we may realize, hey, we get... The church has always prospered more when she's persecuted than she does when she's not. Amen. Amen. We may not like it. We may not appreciate it. But the church has always done better when it's got difficult times have come. And I look back behind me. I see all these men doing what they did. And they just believed God regardless of the circumstances and the situation. They did what they did. I say, God, help us do what we ought to do in these days. Back in the Dark Ages, it is estimated that over 50 million Christians were killed because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ and would not follow the realm of the day. They wouldn't go their route. They wouldn't do what they stood for Christ. Many burned at the stake. Many men have died for their faith, and they paid the price. And I look back at them and say, why shouldn't I get involved in the work of God? Amen. In China, when the communist revolution came in China, it is estimated that over 1 million Christians died for their faith. They stood for their faith and died. If those men, women, boys, and girls could die for their faith, why can't you and I get involved in the work of God right here, right now? Why can't we, as Jubilee comes and we look forward to it. I want to see great. I want to hear good preaching. I want to hear good singing. I want to have a good spirit. I want to see God move. I want to hear the shouts, amen, and praise the Lord. I want to see preachers come in and get some help. But I want to be involved enough to bring somebody to the house of God that they may hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in the atmosphere of Jubilee. When the Spirit of God is moving like that, unsaved people get under conviction, power of God comes. I want to see that, and I desire that. I want us not just looking forward to Jubilee, having a good time. I tell you, in Jubilee, we have some of the best meals you'll ever eat. We do. I don't say that to boast on Sister Linda, but She does a good job taking care of that, and other women that help all that. I don't know who all does what, who makes all the pies. I know my wife makes some pies. Hallelujah. And that's good eating. Praise God. Break on her pies, I'll be in trouble sure enough. They try to explain something to me about that computer things upstairs and streaming out this thing over internet. And the only way they could explain it to me, said, let's look at it like a pie. You take this piece of pie out, you ain't got this much pie left. That I understood. I could grasp that thought, but I couldn't grasp the rest of it. What they talking about? What they talking about running out of pie. But they was talking about streaming, and I got me hungry thinking about pie. Amen. But we have good food. We have good services. I mean, men of God come in and pray. Praise God for it. As men come in here that has been with God, been praying, they get excited about the Lord and praise God for it. I mean, it's all good. And everything has happened. And these people get up saying, God gets in it. And boy, get the same people get to praising God and get to the altar. And things get to happen. I say hallelujah for all of it. I praise God. But us, you and I, not lose sight of the fact that we're having a meeting. And these lost people out here don't know anything at all about God that need to be brought in. And they'll ask you, what is a jubilee? Sometimes they get interested because the word jubilee is in it. And we call it winter jubilee. I don't know how we ever got started. We just picked it up and started using that name. But if they get interested in it, that's good. Tell them, jubilee, jubilee, jubilee. Maybe get their attention. And tell them, come on. And if they say, what is it? Say, come and see. Come and see. Come find out. Get involved. But we need to be involved daily and witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ. And Brother Pertell didn't have any idea what I was preaching on tonight when he got up here and pulled out that track. But boy, he sure did fit in tonight. God prepared him to get up here and do that. And then said, now you preach and you tell it about this. Let's all get involved. Let's all invite people. Grab you some flyers and hand them out. Don't put them in mailboxes, I said this morning. Don't put them in mailboxes. That's against the law to do that. But you can put them on the doorsteps or hand them to somebody, put them in the door and pass them out. But I don't want the government. I told you I didn't want to go to jail. I don't want Richard or Brother Angel, somebody come picking me up saying we got a warrant for your arrest. You've been missing mailboxes. Amen. My name's on every one of those tracks. Don't do that. Amen. But hand them somebody. Get somebody to take them. Let's get involved in what God's doing. God's doing something. Hallelujah. Amen. And don't you say, preacher, I can't do anything. You can hand somebody a track. You can invite them to church. Amen. Everybody can do that. And you can say, preacher, these things around needs to be done. I can't do it. I'd like to get really involved in the Jubilee. There's always something to do in Jubilee. Amen. You can run around church picking up trash. Amen. And once clean the church, appreciate that. You can just do a lot of things. You can help in a lot of ways. So I encourage you to do so. I got to get off of this subject, but I'm telling you behind me, but I got some calls. Get involved in the work of God. Amen. They blaze the trail. I want to keep it going for God. Amen. Until Jesus comes. And keep on keeping on. Let me say something else to you tonight. Not only behind us and all that's above us and that calls us to it and within us and around us and that behind us, but there's something before us that makes me want to keep on keeping on and get involved. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God help us to realize the fact that every one of us sitting in this house that's saved will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. Nobody's going to miss it. We're not going to be judged for salvation. Won't be there unless you're saved. Great wide throne judgment for unsaved. But we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, we will give an account to God for what our lives have been in faith. I want you to turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just want you to see this because it's so important to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul been telling about other foundation can no man lay than Jesus Christ. That is our foundation. Then talks about in verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, you're not going to lose salvation, but you sure can lose rewards. You can stand ashamed. 1 John 2:28 talks about not being ashamed when Jesus comes. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand there, our works are tried by fire. Those eyes of the Lord Jesus looks at all of our works. If it's wood, hay, stubble, it'll burn up. If it's gold, silver, precious stone, it'll come through the fire tried. What makes it wood, hay, or stubble? What makes it gold, silver, precious stone? If you do it because of self-glory, if you do whatever you do just so somebody pats you on the back or somebody do something for you, somebody make you do it look good, it's going to burn up. It's not worth a flip. It'll just burn like wood, hay, and stubble. Boy, if you do what you do, if you pick up a piece of trash for the glory of God, if you hand somebody a tract because you love Jesus, hallelujah. In that day, when we stand yonder, we want to bow our heads in shame. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. And he'll say, in that day, when we give an account of our Christian life, and I tell you tonight, that's an awesome thought. That's a trembling thought. I don't take that lightly, that I stand one day before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account to him. I want to bow at his feet. I want to praise him. I want to thank him for what he's done for me. I want to give him all the glory and all the praise I can give him. But I know all that will be going on in heaven. But someday, one day, at the judgment seat of Christ, I will give an account of my Christian life. That's a humbling thought to me. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do it for his glory so he might be magnified. And God help us to remember that we not let it be burned up in that day. Let me give you this one and I close. There's a call from beneath us to get involved. Think about it. Look it with me in Luke 16. Luke 16, I want you to see it. Luke 16, verse 27, 28. Just going to read two verses. Luke 16, 27, 28. Calls to get involved in the work of God. Verse 27, then he said, this is the rich man in hell now. He's in torments. Can't get a drop of water. Can't get any help for himself. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. They may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Of course, he went on and told them that they have more than prophets. Let them hear them. They wouldn't hear if one did rise from the dead. But here in hell is a man calling, crying out for somebody to go tell his brothers not to come. So there's a call from beneath us in hell that is calling, please get involved and tell people not to go to hell. And tell them how to be saved. And tell them how they. Did you know in hell there is not one person that is not a believer? There's not one person in hell that does not believe there's a God in heaven. There's not a person in hell that does not believe there's a reality of hell. There's not a person in hell that does not believe it's a burning fire. There's not a person in hell that does not realize the fact that people that don't know Jesus Christ come to hell. There's not a person in hell that wants other people to come to hell. You hear jokes about hell. Now, I like to laugh. I enjoy a good laugh. I enjoy something that's funny at the right time, the right place. I enjoy that, but don't ever tell me any jokes about hell. Because hell is not a joking matter. It's not a joking matter. People that go to hell and burn and scream and cry in that place, I never want to joke about it. But they're crying and they're more praying going on in hell than in our churches. Because they're all crying, send somebody back there to tell my family, don't come here. Anybody they love, anybody they can remember back on earth, they don't want them to come to hell. They want somebody to go tell them. They desire for somebody to go tell them, here we are, and we have the opportunity. Let's go tell it. God, help us do what we need to do. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to stand here, open the Word of God, try to share what you've laid on our hearts. Now, Father, tonight, we know the call is to us to go and share the gospel, to get involved in the greatest work on the face of the earth. God, help us to do what you want us to do, our involvement, whatever that may be. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. May the Holy Spirit speak to every heart. Have your way. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.